I'll just begin by praying. Father God, I thank you this morning that we're able to gather together, Lord, to come into this church place. Lord God, we come with one accord, with heart, to Lord, to give you our praise, honor your name, Lord God, and give you the glory. Thank you, Lord God, that we're able to sit in here in security, Lord God, knowing that we can gather together. Lord, many churches around the world at the minute cannot do this. Lord, we live in a world that's full of fear at the minute and full of evil acts that are being done. We don't have to look too far to see what happened in Spain and Barcelona. We, Lord God, live in a world that is worrying about everything and wanting to know why these evil atrocities take place. And yet, Lord God, we in this little church know what's happening. We have an understanding of the battle that's taking place. And I ask, Lord God, you would help us to be able to enable and equip ourselves with your weapons, Lord God, that would enable us, Lord God, to stand firm in this day, in this age, Lord God, where darkness is covering so much of the earth. I ask you, Lord, to help us to have an insight into how to live our lives for you and how to protect ourselves in your name. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to begin by reading two short readings this morning. The talk's been entitled Knowing Your Weapons. I'm going to read, first of all, from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 to 5. And then I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 6, 10 to 18, well-known passages of Scripture. So, Corinthians, first of all.
2 Corinthians 10.
4 to 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I'm going to read now from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his mighty, and in the power of his might. Sorry. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against the flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of this darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore take up the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So far, we have looked at the truth that Christians are born into a battle. Spiritual warfare is real, it is fierce, and it is deadly. As the evangelist Billy Graham said, we, Christians, live in a perpetual battlefield. We know that there is a spiritual battle, and we know we have a deadly enemy in Satan and his host of evil. But God has not saved us to leave us as helpless victims of Satan's evil assaults. Satan is motivated by his hatred of God and all things godly. Everything he does is to rob God of his glory. He has three main aims in his warfare against God's people. The Welsh evangelical speaker Jesse Penn Lewis, in her book War on the Saints, says this: Satan seeks to destroy, to cause God's people to sin against God. Satan seeks to slander them, and Satan seeks to slay them. Remember, Jesus said this: the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. When Satan causes God's people to sin, God is robbed of glory. When he slanders God's people, he aims to kill off their testimony to God's grace in their lives. And ultimately, he works to slay the believer and end any godly influence they might have on others. But as I said, God has not saved us to leave us as helpless victims to Satan's evil assaults. I believe God is in control of all things. And when assaults come from evil, from Satan or from the evil one, they are permitted by God. Hard to grasp that, but that's what I believe. The Christian, therefore, must ask why these things have happened and what is God trying to teach us. There is no doubt when temptations and attacks come upon us, one thing God wants all his children to know is how to stand against the enemy's attacks, how to resist them, and how to ultimately defeat them. Just as Jesus promised his disciples that he would not leave them as orphans, but send the Holy Spirit to dwell with them, he has led us into all the truth so that he has not left us defenseless against the enemy, that he has given us all the weapons that we will need, that we have noted in Ephesians there. The Lord has provided us with mighty weapons to be used against Satan and his host of evil. You know, we've been given all the weapons that we could really need. I want to look very quickly at the weapons that God has given us to use, and then I want to show you how I've applied those weapons in my own life. So we're going to look at the seven or eight weapons that we have. The first weapon, obviously, is the Word of God. God's Word is powerful against the enemy. During his time of temptation by Satan, Jesus only referred back to Satan with the Word of God. We too must learn how to use it effectively and how to use it when Satan is coming against us. The second is prayer. Jesus taught his disciples how to pray and expects us to continually commune with him in prayer and to God the Father in doing so. When we face attacks and temptations, we need to pray for God's strength and for his help to resist the evil one. We need to be people who pray for one another and through prayer stand against the schemes of the evil one. The third point is the name of Jesus. Satan as demons are subject to the name of Jesus. By the name of Jesus, they must submit and flee. At the name of Jesus, demons tremble. However, it does not mean that they, by simply speaking in the name of Jesus, the demonic forces will end their attack. It must be used in faith and with Jesus' authority. By the blood of Jesus, claiming the blood of Jesus and asking for it to cover you isn't really a great help. What does it mean? When we use the term in the blood of Jesus, we should be focusing on the death of Jesus and his blood shed for us. By using the blood of Jesus, we are reminding Satan that we no longer belong to him, but we have been redeemed by Jesus who poured out his life for us. We belong to Jesus. Testimony, our testimony. Revelation 12, verse 11 says this, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death." Your own testimony is one of the most powerful weapons that we have against the evil one and can be used to nullify any assault that Satan brings against us. You know what you were before you were Christ's, and you know now what you are, that you are Christ's. Satan hates to hear this truth. Faith. Stand firm upon the Word of God and his promises. Have faith in God to help you, and Satan cannot gain a victory over you. Faith is one of the most important things that we must have in our life. And time again, I've heard it prayed in here and said in here. And then there's praise. You know, we might not recognize praise as a weapon, but in all things, give thanks and praise to God. God has very often brought about victories for people when they simply praised his name. I'm going to demonstrate to you what I do with praise whenever God brings a victory in my life. And then finally, to summarize all of these points, and I know we went through them quite quickly, we could spend nearly a week in each point here. We have fellowship. We are not one person. We are many people standing together. We are a family of believers, and we are an army in Christ together. We need to meet together and share our common experiences, praying for one another and supporting each other in the fight. Satan hates the unity of believers. If Satan could just take out one person at a time out of a church, he would destroy that church. If he can take out the leader or leaders of a church and it splits, he destroys that church. Satan would love to destroy fellowship amongst people and destroy the church. I know I've flown through those sort of 9 points, and most of us know those points, and we all practice, I hope, those points. But it's easy today to stand here and list these for you. The things that I expect, the things that God expects of you to do every day in our lives. Guess most of us get on our knees and pray at least once a day. We all read our Bibles, making the places that we're at in our Bible, putting our little bookmark and our tag in our Bible and saying, great, I've reached another chapter, I've reached another part, I'm heading towards the end. And many of us have it in our mind that we're going to finish the Bible, and that becomes the aim of our reading. We stand and pray, every one of us calling upon the name of God, Paul calling upon the name of Jesus. And that is a wonderful thing that we do that, and I hear it prayed in here many, many weeks. We praise God for the wonderful things that He has done, for the people that He has healed, for the situations that He's moved in. And I'm not making light of what I'm saying here. I'm just highlighting at the moment the things that we do with the weapons that we have. So far, so good. But what has this got to do with spiritual warfare? I want to read a portion of Scripture for you from Matthew chapter 7. It's this. From noon onward, darkness came over the land until 3 p.m. And about 3:00, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? In my early teens, when growing up as a young boy, this portion of Scripture was one that I used to read and try to understand what Jesus was saying. And I tell you that I was not a believer in Jesus at this time. I thought that it was beautiful that someone in the Bible was feeling the same pain as me. It's a perverse way of looking at that portion of Scripture. In this verse, the pain that Jesus was feeling was like a comfort to me. Here was the Son of God in anguish, and nothing could be done to help him. I have thought of this verse many times, mainly when I am in real torment myself. Spiritual warfare is not a game that we play. It is not an opt-in or opt-out or soft kind of play. It is not a computer game that can be paused or switched off when the going gets tough. It is a real war that we take part in, and many get hurt and many get injured. To try and make some sense of the weapons that we have highlighted, I want to show you how I best use them in my life. I have experienced the faces of what Satan has to throw at me when I have faced evil spirits face to face. I have faced the vilest spirits that through the worst accusations, with language that you can and cannot understand, that I would never repeat or can't repeat. When you are paralyzed with fear and unable to speak, move, or even open your eyes, when darkness has gripped you and the enemy is tormenting you, when everything is moving about you in complete blackness and yet the blackness can move, it is a very, very scary place to be. This is when we call, my God, why have you forsaken me? But this couldn't be further from the truth. This is the moment that you know God has prepared you for. This is the moment when the real weapons we have become real weapons of war. Before I go to this point, I want to sort of try and give you an example of our weapons and how we should be using them. Now, there's a film called The Karate Kid. Has anybody seen The Karate Kid? Way back in the day? The original one? I loved it. The Karate Kid was about a boy who moved into this area with his mum. It was a new area, and there was local thugs. And he happened to go into this coffee shop one day, and he's like, you know, a wee love story. He sees a girl, and he falls in love. And this girl has an ex-boyfriend who is part of this karate club. And they beat him up time and time again. And the wee boy goes home, and he's always going home with black eyes and bruised. And Mr. Miyagi sees him. Mr. Miyagi grows these little bonsai plants. And Mr. Miyagi says, I will teach you karate. And he goes, you know karate? He goes, I teach you karate. That's right. So Wester Miyagi takes him over. He goes, right, he takes him to his car. He gives him two polishes. He goes, Daniel, son, polish on, polish off. Polish on, polish off. So Daniel's son spends all day polishing your man's car. Then the next day, he comes back for his training and he goes, Daniel's son, fence. Up, down, whole length. Daniel goes, what? So he paints that fence all day. And the last day he goes, Daniel's on. Polish. The whole floor. Daniel, the end of 3 days, comes back to him. He goes, throws in the towel. He goes, I've learned nothing. I'm a slave. I've cleaned your car, painted your fence, and polished your floor. I've learned nothing. And Mr. Maggie goes, oh, Daniel's on, you were in training. And he goes, Daniel's standing like this here. Mr. Maggie goes, wah, wah, wah. Mr. Daniel goes, wah, wah, wah. You see, Daniel's son was in training. He was learning how to do karate, but yet he didn't understand why he was doing it or how he would use it. This was the training and the teaching that he was learning that was going to protect him, even though at first he did not understand it. But these moves, you know, the old special ones, these moves and techniques would be the ones that would help him defend himself against the enemy who was coming against him every day. Now, I'm hoping that that kind of mad analogy will help you to realize that the list of things that we stated at the start of the talk are the things that should be becoming our daily habit. Learning to pray, learning to read your Bible, growing in your faith, praising God, worshiping, coming together with others. When you start to take one of those points away from the list, you're weakening your defense. So people who think it's okay not to go to church are losing a part of their weaponry that they really need, for example, when they need to stand with others. These are the weapons that you need to be trained in, ready to use in battle, and yet you still do not know how to use them. You know how to read your Bible, then learn to use it when you're facing your enemy. You know how to pray, then learn to use it when you're facing your enemy. When we pray to God, Lord, help me, when the Lord saves you, then you know that you have been in a spiritual battle. Now, I want to go back to my example that I'm giving you. When I said I've faced the host of wickedness on numerous occasions, I am not telling you a lie. There have been moments in my life of real fear and terror when the reality that we live in seems to disappear and open up into another time. It's when nothing appears as it should and darkness surrounds you, like I said. Surrounded by evil moving spirits, in complete darkness, in a state of paralysis, and there is no one you can call to, no one is going to help you, and no one is going to show up and teach you what to do. This is the moment when you begin to use your spiritual weapons. You pray to God for him to help you, and you quote scripture as Jesus did, knowing that God hears our cries. We pray in that God hasn't deserted us. In your hope, you're saying, my God, don't desert me at this moment in time. You begin to pray. I pray to God when this happens to me, and I quote verses of scripture, and the one that I quote most is, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for your rod and your staff are with me, and they comfort me. This is part of Psalm 23. It's the one I use most in the darkest moments, when it comes from whenever King David, and whenever God, King David wrote this psalm, and King David, of course, was a shepherd, and whenever he was out in the field, and all his flock was about, and the danger would come from the wild animals, he would have a rod and a staff, and he would use them to protect the animals against the attack. I am of the flock of Jesus, and he has the weapons that I need to protect me whenever I'm being attacked. So that's a verse that I quote whenever I'm lying there in my state. And then I continue to pray in the name of Jesus, and will often talk in tongues because I can't do anything else. So I'll be praying in tongues, I'll be praying to the Lord, I'll be quoting scripture, and the attack is still coming, but I'm still using the weapons that I have. To then testify that I am a son of God and that no one can snatch me from his hand. And when you're doing that, the vilest things are coming in about you, and you know that your history isn't good. Before I was a Christian, I did things I shouldn't have done. I messed with the occult. I got deep into things that took me ages to get set free from. And Satan hates that, and he wants you to be back in that place. He is quoting back to you what you were. But then you've got to say, but Lord, I've got a new testimony. I'm Jesus's. I've done all these things, and I am in God's family now. And of course, he hates that. And these are the weapons that are starting to defeat the evil one when he's against you. And then when the period of attack is nearing the end, I am able to stand in my faith and in God's strength, knowing that the evil one has been defeated. Now, even though I've stood firm, even though I've done the things that I've talked about, when the battle is over and I'm left drained and on many levels scared, you cannot begin to describe to people what that is like. You can't draw the picture. You can't record the sounds. But I know that evil exists, and I can never turn away from God, for I know the truth. But my faith is strengthened through every battle and victory gained. The faith that we crave only strengthens with every spiritual battle we endure. You know, people will say, Lord, increase my strength. They don't realize that they're praying because God says, right, increase the strength. Here's a battle. Because your strength is only going to increase when you endure the battles, when you endure the difficulties, because you know that God has given you the strength each time and your faith is growing. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So all the things that I've talked about, all the equipment that's needed, we've got it on us. And when the battle is over and the victory is won, not only do I stand, but I praise God in prayer and in song. Now that's amazing, because when you've been through that really fierce battle, and you've been battered and bruised, I'm a beautiful singer, and I will stand up, and I will sing to God, and offer him all, because great is our God, and most worthy of our praise. And that is what I do. I praise God when the battle is over. Offering our praise when the battle is over is the sweetest gift that we can give to such a wonderful, wonderful God. Now, I'm very quickly showing you how I use the spiritual weapons that we have been given, and there's many other examples that we could give. Like I said, it might be a little meaningless at the times when we read our Bible, when you're doing your prayer time, when you're going through the repetitive things. But trust me, when the heat is on and the battle comes in, those are the very weapons that we pull out of our armory, and like the Karate Kid, we're able to use them very, very naturally and without having to think about it. But when the battle begins, we will remember the Word of God and call on the mighty name in prayer of Jesus. Over our years of study, our years of reading, and our years of prayer and coming together, these are our greatest weapons. So maybe today you have had a week of battling, a week from the pits of hell. Maybe you think that you are never going to overcome the difficulties, or that you can't survive the struggle anymore. Maybe you're struggling against debt or relationship problems or friendship issues. Could be any battle that you're having. You feel like you're never going to survive it. This is what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to believe that you're never going to survive. He wants you to throw in the towel. He wants you to walk away from the church and from God. He wants you to step down from leadership. I'm told every week to step down from leadership. Satan would love Taddy and I just to step down from leadership and walk away from the church. I mean, that would give him the greatest delight of his week. He wants you to turn your back on Jesus. He wants you to turn the back on the people in this church you don't really get on with. I know most people in this church, and I can talk and get on with them all, but I wouldn't say they're my best buddies in the world. But they are my friends in this church, and trust me, I don't have a lot of friends. And I would say that most of my friendship would be as much in this church as it would be outside the church. But my advice to you is this: never give up. Never give up under the pressure, and never walk away from God. No surrender should be the cry of every believer. No surrender. I mean, it's really hard to say that. And whenever Taddy said Satan can only be at one place at once, he's been in my house for at least a week, and he hasn't left it. And everywhere I go, he sends someone behind me. But when you're under the struggles, listen to what's being said. And listen to it and take it into your heart, because it's true. You know, everybody in here has their own struggles and their own pressures. And we all have it. And you all want to give up, throw in the job or throw in the towel or walk away from Shiloh or whatever you want to do. Don't do it. And then to summarize that all up, we've got to come together then in fellowship. Fellowship is so important. And it's more important than people take it granted for. People who come and go as they will, they don't understand that the strength can be gained from coming together, and Satan hates it. Hates it. But you know what? We have to do it, and we have to love it. You've got to turn to someone today. Say that, you know, you haven't been coming to Shiloh so much, or maybe you've been going through your own problems and you've been keeping it in. You've got to learn to let it go and share it with somebody, or come to the leaders and try and together work in prayer to overcome these things. Because if you don't, they will beat you down if you're not well enough armed in the armor of God. So to go back to my other point, which brings me nearly to my end. My God, why have you forsaken me? Can never, never be true on any level for the believer in Jesus. God has never forsaken me. And that piece of scripture is the most powerful piece of scripture that Satan can use to twist, to get you to believe that God doesn't love you, to get you to believe that God doesn't care about you, that in fact he has abandoned you. And if he can use that piece of scripture in you, he can basically break you, because it's so powerful. God will never leave us or forsake us. This is the truth. We may experience the spiritual battles, and when these have passed, we will grow in our faith. I'm going to finish with this. We must experience the bitterness of the battle if we are to appreciate the sweetness of victory. And to quote Billy this morning, and the joy that it brings in walking closer with God. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you this morning for the truth that you've given us, not even just in this talk, but that we've heard about, you know, the joy. And the joy that we have in our heart, Lord God, it does. It's a different joy to happiness. Happiness is a moment. Happiness is something that comes and goes. But joy is something, Lord, that lasts in our heart and is given to us by the Spirit of God. And I ask you, Lord God, that we would continue to walk in joy in every battle that we endure. Lord, I know that we can find it difficult. I know, Lord God, that sometimes it can nearly put us to breaking point. But Lord, I ask you please to help us. And help us to have an insight into what you're trying to teach us and show us. In Jesus' name, amen.